Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
The Green Hollow Killer.
That's what we're talking about today. This is part two in our conversation with defense attorney Bob Mata, one of our contributors and good friends here at the program. He was boots on the ground. He was right there while some of this investigation was going on, while some of this documentary was being made that you may have now seen on Paramount Plus, My Killer Father, out right now. That is the case we are talking about, and it is full of twists and turns and questions that really no one can answer other than Bob. Let's get back to the interview. This is me and Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, as we continue our conversation about what Bob Mata found while investigating the possible Green Hollow Killer.
So I get out there at the crack of dawn. I'm in that white Caprice. They're already there. This is like 6:30 in the morning and they're down there. So Lucy says, don't go in the way you came because there's three ways in. There's in through the hollow. That was not the way to go. There's another one. I think it's called Cemetery Road, appropriately. So you drive past the cemetery. So I'm pulling in. I've got my typical short haircut. I've got my Ray-Bans on, and I think I'm probably wearing a hat, and I've got this white Caprice. So I've got, like, these glasses on, and I'm driving in, and there's a cop with, like, a clipboard standing there. So I roll down the window. I'm like, hey, what's up? He doesn't ask me. He's like, oh. He waves me in.
He thinks you're a cop.
Thinks I'm a cop. So I'm like, this is amazing. So I get down, and there's a bunch of cars parked, and I can see just beyond, you know, the staging area where they're getting everything ready. So I'm sitting there for a minute. I'm like, holy shit, I'm down here. I'm like, what's my next move? Do I, like, go in? Like, do I walk in? So before I can do anything, the local sheriff comes and knocks on my window. He's like, roll your window down. He's like, hey. He's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Bob. He's like, give me your ID. I need your driver's license right now. I'm like, all right. I'm like, here you go. He's like, how did you get down here? I'm like, he waved me down. He's like, the guy up there with the clipboard waved me down. He's like, well, you're not supposed to be down here. He's like, I'll be back. So he leaves for like 5 minutes. And I can hear him barking at people and screaming and yelling. And I'm like, maybe I'm getting arrested. I don't think so, because this area I'm in is not private property. I haven't told him I'm a lawyer yet. Yeah. I haven't pulled the I know my rights, I'm a lawyer card, because cops love that when you do that.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Favorite thing in the world to hear some big mouth say I'm a lawyer.
Dude, I got to go with you, Bob, because I have the best get out of jail free card I ever saw in my entire life. My retired FBI creds. Effing rock.
Yes.
Because no one sees a retired stamp on there. They yes. freaking get me in everywhere.
Dude, I gotta go break the law with you too.
You're my partner in crime moving forward.
We could get anywhere.
That is the key to the kingdom. So he comes back, he yells at me. He's like, I've been watching your videos. You know, he's like, he's super pissed at me. I was like, well, then you know I haven't broken any laws. And I say, look, Sheriff, I'm not here to meddle. I'm simply here to observe. I'm not going to interfere in any way, shape, or form. I just want to watch. Lucy sent me down here because she wants me to check out and make sure that this thing's actually happening. At this point, she doesn't trust law enforcement at all. She thinks that everybody's full of shit. So that's all I'm going to do. He's like, well, stay out of our way. We won't have any problems. I'm
good
like,
answer.
Cool.
Yeah. That's good answer, you know, Bob. That's nice. Good job.
Yeah. And I'm like that. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So by the time I leave that area, and I go back and I'm going to go try to talk to Chittick, who I know is at work, but he's given me access to the property. So by the time I get over there, they already have two crawlers staged at the opening that leads into Green Hollow. So I pull up. I'm like, hey, what's up, fellas? And they're like, yeah, you can't come in. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this is public property. This road is a public road. You can't stop me from driving down. And he's like, I'm just telling you, you can't come in. And I'm like, well, who gave you that? He's like, I'm not telling you that either. You just can't come in. So I'm like, call your boss. I'm like, call your boss while I'm standing here. I'm like, I honestly said, I'm not trying to create an issue here. I'm just trying to watch, but I'm telling you legally, you have no authority to stop me from driving down this road at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's like, all right, I'll make a call. He goes and makes a call. He's like, man, you can't come down here. So I'm like, all right, that's an issue. And I'm going to make it an issue because, again, I'm not trying to cause any issues here. I'm just simply trying to stand on that fence line and watch what's going on. That's all I'm trying to do. And these guys are like, these two guys are like, man, we watch your content and it's really good. We like it. You know, so these guys are actually like rooting for me to get back there. I can tell. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave. So I'm 10 miles down the road and I get the call. And I forget who it is because at this point I'm on the phone with 50 different people. Like I am trying to reach out to everybody in the area, all the contacts I've made, everybody that Lucy's put me in contact with. And I get the call that they've changed their minds and that they're going to allow me to go back. So I throw a U-turn, I go back, and I'm on the fence line. So I get back there, I park. I literally had to crawl up this like 15-foot dirt wall to get up to this thing, man. And it's like, and I'm on this landing and I make it to the fence line. And that's when I see all where the dogs hit with all the marks. And I'm like, man, I really did want to go buy a shovel and just start digging up there.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to do. Cause that was land I was allowed to be on. I know because of my Gacy thing where I'm trying to find additional victims, which we talked about so much. I'm like, if we ever discover a bone, we stop immediately. We call law enforcement. We get them out there and then they do their thing, you know, which would have been my plan then. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go to the fence line. So I'm on the phone with Lucy. She's screaming at me. She's like, where are they? What are they doing? And I'm like, I can see them. They're actually doing things. Cause like when they're doing the soil samples, it's like a 30-foot pole. So I could see that they were doing it and they were going in deep. And I knew what they were looking for was the lie. That's what they were actually looking for, because that would have substantiated her story. Because there would be no other reason for lie to be in that well.
And right? for everyone watching and listening, what was the lie for? What'd she say it was for?
To help the decomposition of the bodies. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to use lie, that's what you use that for. Lime, which is what Gacy used, helps mask the smell. So mm-hmm. they're two different things. People like oftentimes confuse the two.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. She's like, I need you to go up on that, like climb up and go up on the high ridge. Cause there's another ridge. It's such a weird geographical area. And I was trying to use, there were two apps I was using to try to get the lay of the land from up above from satellite view because Google Maps wasn't it. Like Google Maps didn't show me like the topography. You know what I mean? So like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to make my way up there. She's like, cause that's where the other well is. That's the well they're supposed to be at. They're at the wrong well. They're at the well that they searched at the first time.
Why do you think they're at the wrong well?
Yeah.
Based on what she was telling me. Cause she says that's where the wet well was.
Yeah.
So that was like the active well. Cause Don was going up.
Then where did they get that information from that they put them at the wrong well?
Because she wasn't invited to the first search. So when the feds, after the story broke, and she was relentless, like she really had been relentless for many, many years, just trying to get somebody law enforcement wise to go out there. She thought she had made a solid connection with a fed. Fed just kept, you know, putting her off, being like, we're working on it. We're going to get something done. We probably, you know. So when they finally get out there with the dogs, and this is before the Newsweek story broke, because I think Newsweek must have contacted law enforcement. So she had pushed it to the point where they were actually going to go out there and vet the information. Mm-hmm. So when they went out there, Newsweek was there for that one, but Lucy was not. And so they went out and they just looked in the wrong areas because she kept talking about this mushroom trail, you know, and that there was a shallow grave she was claiming in a mushroom trail that she had a distinct memory of them burying a body in this mushroom trail, which would obviously be the easiest find. So that was that well happened to be right near that mushroom trail. And like, she's trying to explain it to me over the phone, and I didn't have a strong enough signal to FaceTime her to show her where I was.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to explain it. I'm like turning around. I'm like, look, I can see where your dad's trailer used to be from up on high, but like I'm on that fence line. And like, I don't know that she had been out there since the flood. So the whole topography had changed because of the flood. There had been
How come she didn't go with you?
She was in Florida and she like couldn't afford to jump on a plane like same day. Okay. Like it was happening so fast. They gave her no notice.
Yeah.
And she knew that I would jump in the car and get out there, which I did, you know? So I end up getting on this high ridge and I'm up there and I'm walking around and it's like, it's really pretty breathtaking up there. It's such a weird, kind of like a weird area to be in. Like I said, in flat farmland, it reminds me of like kind of Galena, Illinois, which is like the one place the glacier didn't hit in Illinois, because Illinois is flat as shit too.
Yeah.
Except when you get up to Galena, you actually have like huge hills. It's more like, you know, kind of like Missouri when you get into those states where they have something aside from flat land.
It's kind of Ozarky, if you will.
Exactly. So I get up there and I can see that there's another entrance. And so Lucy's like, that's the entrance we used to go through. And this one was probably about 400 yards west of where I was initially, like kind of in this area where they found, you know, that the dogs had hit in those five different areas, which would have made sense in terms of, because I'm trying to put this together, you know, like as I'm looking at the property, how were they gaining access? If this is true, like getting up with a body and you've got your kids dragging these things up there, you know, and they're, it turns out, which I didn't know before I scaled the rock wall or whatever it was, is that there was actually kind of like a path that had gone up that kind of curved its way up. And I ended up on that thing that kind of like platformed area. So another 30 feet above that is where I end up standing. And then I see that there's another sheriff stationed on the fence line up there. So they're really trying to keep me like out of their business, like actively. Super nice guy. He's a deputy sheriff, you know? So I start having like this like hour long conversation with them. He's like, oh yeah, I watched your content too. And this is like a 60 year old man. Mm-hmm. They were all watching it. You know, like all of it kind of develop in real time. And I'm like, can you tell me anything? Like, what's going on? And he's like, well, he's like, they put all the locals. We're just on guard duty. They're not letting us anywhere near what they're doing out there. I'm like, but you know, they're actually doing some stuff. He's like, yeah, I know they're doing some stuff. And I'm like, have they found anything? And he's like, well, he's like, the only thing I think that they found thus far is a horse bone. So I'm like, all right, that's it. So I'm having this really long conversation. Now, keep in mind that I've had, I don't know, probably like 100 hours of conversations with Lucy. And I've talked about this Gacy podcast, as I'm prone to do, a million times with her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling this cop about my Gacy podcast, as I'm prone to do. He's like, oh, he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, you know that Gacy's first victim, Tim McCoy, was from Green Hollow. And I literally like almost fell down. I was so stunned by it because, you know, my focus really of the Gacy podcast was to focus on the victims. And then he goes on to, so I'm blown away. I'm like, so you're telling me Tim McCoy, because I knew that Tim McCoy had come down from Minnesota and he got picked up in the Greyhound bus station heading back to Iowa for the high school graduation so he could celebrate with his friends. So I knew, I didn't know where in Iowa though, but I knew that was his final destination, where he was heading on the bus when Gacy snatched him up in Chicago. And I'm like, holy shit. So the guy keeps talking and he tells me, he's like, yeah, he's related to the Studies. And I'm like, what? Cause I like, so you have to like, at that point in time, I'm starting to feel like that I was like destined to be there. Like,
yeah,
some kind of weird fate shit. because the odds of that being the case and me being in that point in time, having that conversation, finding out that information about Tim McCoy just blew my mind. And I'm like, holy shit, man. I'm like, I think I'm like onto something. I feel like I'm in my mind. I'm like, I'm going to uncover like one of the biggest serial killers in the history of America right here. And I'm going to be like on the front line of it. And it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately, as soon as I end that conversation, I call Lucy. I'm like, Lucy, I'm like, are you related to a guy named Tim McCoy? And she's like, yeah, he's like a second cousin three times or some shit. He's like in her bloodline.
Wow.
And I'm like, how many times have I talked to you about the Gacy thing? And you never thought to mention that you had a connection with this first victim, a familial connection. She's like, no, she's like, I told you I can't do that serial killer shit. I'm like, I'm not asking you to do serial killer shit. That's something where you just tell me, hey, you know what you might find interesting? I was related to his first victim. I'm like,
fun fact. It, yeah.
I was like, that was like a weird kind of turning point for me because I just didn't understand why she wouldn't have mentioned that because it was significant.
Yeah.
Like she had to know it was significant to me. So at any rate, that was a weird aside, and that put me in this whole different mindset of like fate. Like that I was like, because I've never really been like a big, you know, fate like I am. But that changed things for me. Like, and I really started to think, man, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And at that point, the full day goes by. I want to make it to town and I want to start interviewing the locals. You know, and I knew that I had been out enough to, you know, have established that I'm there on TikTok, and I knew that everybody was watching it. So I knew once I got into Tabor, and I was getting a million DMs on TikTok. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, we live here. We want to meet with you. We have a story. So they were just flowing. It was insane. It was like to watch your, like any kind of thing that you have on socials to like grow like that overnight is crazy. It's like the notifications, and I'm like, and just the amount of DMs I was getting was overwhelming. So that full first day goes by and I don't really get any kind of news. Like, and I'm really trying to get some news as to whether or not they uncovered anything. Cause Lucy's on my ass. She's like, what, you know, what are you hearing? I'm going to the, like, and before I left for, you know, town that night, I went to the sheriff's office, tried to go in there, tried to sit with the sheriff because I wanted to make nice with the sheriff, which I ultimately ended up doing, mm-hmm. you know, on the next trip down. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I'm just trying to get some information. You know, that's all I'm trying to find out is whether or not they found something. And he's like, I don't know. You know, he's like, they're not telling us anything either. And I kind of half believed him and I half didn't, mm-hmm. but I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to push the point. So I end up going to the town, met with a ton of people, ate with a bunch of wonderful locals down there. Everybody was sweet as pie. You know, it was just like, I felt, you know, cause it's like you go into a situation as kind of an interloper outsider.
Yeah.
You don't know how they're going to take you. You know what I mean? And it's like either going to be, you're going to get massive resistance and a cold shoulder or super welcoming. And I got the latter, and I was fortunate for that because everyone wanted to talk to me. Like the mayor invited me out to the house for dinner.
What do you think made them want to talk?
I think it was kind of like the fact that they can kind of get the sense that I'm a genuine dude. You know what I mean? Like if you go to my TikTok and the videos are up there, and I highly recommend anybody who's watched that documentary, go check out the TikTok because it's a very nice partner piece to the documentary, I'm sure. And I haven't watched it yet. I know Tony plowed through it this morning at the crack of dawn. I could just imagine Tony in bed flipping his TV on.
That's after watching all the cult shows too.
I'm getting up, getting ready to take my daughter to school. And I'm like, I got to start this doc if I'm going to get through it before we go on the air.
That's what I figured out this morning. My Paramount Plus had expired because I put it on this morning too. I was like, God dang it.
Yeah, just like a little, you know, morning murder, coffee and murder.
We do that all the time.
Who can resist? Yeah.
My wife thinks I'm a nutter.
So, yeah, but I think that was it, man. I think it was people, because I was trying, at that point in time, TikTok, the max you could do on a stream was 3 minutes.
Okay.
So it was like I was really trying to cram a lot into 3 minutes, and I think that people were appreciative of what I was doing. They were appreciative of the fact that I was respectful of their town, of their privacy, of them as a people. And so I think that I was able to kind of build that rapport remotely through that account. And so, you know, and that worked well for me, and it was genuine. You know,
how did the locals, what was their take on everything at that moment in time in terms of the attention that this has been given in relation to all of the claims that Lucy has been making throughout the years? Because obviously he's never been charged with a crime. Don never has. But obviously there's the story, the tale, the legend.
And that's what I was getting to as well. Yeah. Were they inviting you in, Bob, because they were happy it was finally being told, or was it because of you?
I think it was both, but everybody had a story. You know,
did they feel like their story hasn't been heard? Because obviously Lucy feels like no one's heard her story until now. Did they feel like for whatever reason nobody was looking at this, that there's a mystery to be solved here? Are they sick of hearing about it and they just want to get a conclusive answer either way? What was their attitude on that?
I think the bigger story was really that Lucy had been making these outcries for years, and they just wanted to know if it was true the same way the rest of us did. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was like, and then when you combine that with the concept that their parents had told them stories about Don Studi, and I'm talking about the younger generation, right. You know, for them, it became kind of a legendary story, you know, and it was like one of those
legendary.
Like, don't go, you're right, don't go back into the hollows.
He's the boogeyman.
He's the local
boogeyman. Yeah.
He was absolutely the local boogeyman.
There's more to come in our conversation with Bob Mata as we dig deeper into Don Studi. Is he, in fact, the Green Hollow Killer? Or are the events that are talked about, depicted, and claimed by his very own daughter in the My Killer Father documentary on Paramount Plus a trauma response, part of the imagination, part of a false reality that his daughter has been living with for all of these years? Or is it all too real and no one has been listening close enough yet? We'll continue the conversation. Press subscribe wherever you get podcasts so you do not miss it. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos, When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.